Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is Sarah Wells and Kevin Tinkin. How are you guys?
Repping the female race over here.
You sure are.
Why'd you make that noise?
Because I don't know, like, it's what you do when you're like, what? What?
He just threw his hands in the air.
Throwing up an F sign for female.
Totally.
Well, Jane is not here with us, and Megan is not here with us either. So it's just, we're going old school, guys. It's just the three of us. We got Dave in the other room, and Dave's repping as well. But
Dave raised the roof. He did. He legitimately raised the roof. And I felt like verbal to that was woo-woo.
Burning down the house.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we got a good show for you guys today.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
The sermon discussion this week, we're talking about basically Brad read out of Matthew 18, but also he talked about 1 Corinthians 5 again.
Mm-hmm.
And we will introduce a new segment onto the show, and we'll keep you guys up to date with that. And then we will also have a time of what do we call it? I'm drawing a blank here. An interview with
I did not know where you're going with that.
Thomas Snuggling. An interview with Cameron Little of Ephraim Clothing. And if you've been at the well, Ephraim has done a lot of the shirts that we do here at the well. But he just launched a new website and wanted to come in here and explain kind of what the process of that website mm-hmm. was. And Cameron's a friend of mine, so he's been going to the well probably as long as he's been here a while. Kevin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been here a while. Time. And then we'll close out the show with some announcements. And this week's music, per my wife's request. So
it's going to be good.
It's Carrie Jobe, which
that is fantastic.
She's a big fan of, and she just came out with a new CD. So we'll play that on this week's show as well. Lacey. And I'm excited for this episode. I feel like we're always turning a new corner in here, all right?
We're always trying new things. We have a high try culture here. Mm. Isn't that what they say?
That's what Brad says. That's one of the staff values.
There we go. Yeah, yes. High try culture.
Just
try everything.
Oh, yeah. T-R-Y. Yeah. I thought it was like T-R-I.
Like in rugby where you score a try?
Like three cultures. We're all white. I don't know.
Kind of Trinity-esque.
Where's the other two cultures coming from?
No. Well, stay tuned for today's episode and enjoy some Carrie Jobe.
Church discipline only goes to the next level if what? If they shake you off. May it never be that we ever shake anybody off. Somebody comes to you and says, hey, I see this issue in your life. Be teachable. Go, man, thank you. See, church discipline continues when your heart is so hard, you go, forget it. I'm not listening to you. And you go, all right, homies, come. What do you see? We see the same thing. You go, I'm not listening to you. And the person just shuns. That's where church discipline continues. Hopefully, it never, ever gets to that point. And the reality is, the higher position of influence you get, the smaller the scale of personal freedoms you have. So the margin of error for me is very, very small. If I do something stupid, it's podcasted, it's on the website, it's videoed, it's shipped out, it's embarrassing for God and country, right? So I run scared. If you're a guest among us, the standard is different. So I don't want you to feel like we're a church trying to be moral police. We're not. But we do want to deal with sin among us if, and especially if, the person's unrepentant.
That was a clip from the sermon from this past Sunday. And if you weren't there, we read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. But I'd say a good half of the sermon was out of Romans 18 as well.
Matthew.
I don't know why I said Romans. Matthew 18. And just talking about I guess this is a three-part sermon type mm-hmm. thing. Like last week was how do you confront somebody? Mm-hmm. This week is how do you confront somebody? And if they don't respond positively, what do you do? What's the next step? And mm-hmm. I believe that next week is how do you confront somebody who's not in the church, correct?
Who's not a believer.
Who's not a believer. So, because they have a different set of standards or whatnot. Yeah. But this week it was somebody who's in the church, somebody who calls themselves a Christian, and how do we as a church discipline that person? Or do we as a church, in some contexts, even have to step in? Mm-hmm. You know, so... Take it away. I'm sorry. I need to clear my throat.
No, but. it's intense, man. It's I think that's why both me and Sarah. Like,
and I just saw Kevin wipe his hands off on his pants. Like
I did,
they're sweating.
I'm sweating. You know, I am. It's a rough. It's not touchy feely. It's not lovey. It's not revival stuff.
Right.
You know, this is not the stuff that you talk about when you're like, you should become a Christian.
Right.
This is how we're going to discipline you, by the way, mm-hmm. if you do.
Yeah.
But I actually, this reminds me of a time a couple of years ago, I had a guy sit me down and said, hey, X, Y, and Z. And it was weird. It was really weird for me because I didn't know how to accept it. Because, like, you know, when you talk about not knowing if you're doing something that's bothering somebody, and then somebody say, hey, you're doing this, and it bothers me. And the person that had brought it up to me and him had some history. And so that was even harder because the history we had was like, I was kind of like, dude, come on. I know you.
Yeah.
Like, knock it off. You can't say anything, you know? And
yeah.
What he was coming at me with was some pretty minor stuff.
Right.
But it was so hard for me to, instead of going, come on, dude, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, in majority of the light, it was no big deal.
Right.
But he saw it, and I, you know, it makes me feel good to say that I felt like I responded well mm-hmm. because, you know, I had to change some things up, and I had been inviting some people over to my house, and it made me look bad, mm-hmm. you know, because of the influence that they were having on the rest of the people, you know, at the house. And he said, hey, man, it's just, you know, when I come over to your house and I see X, Y, and Z going on, you know, and I'm like, you know, well, those aren't my church buddies. Those, you know, that's not me. He's like, well, yeah. You know, reflects badly on you. I was just like, gosh, dang it. I guess I gotta get it in line. So I remember talking to a couple of other buddies. They're like, yeah. And taking that was so hard. And mm-hmm. I was inches away from going, come on, dude, get over it.
Yeah.
You know, stay out of my business. You know, this is
yeah, but that's the instinctive reaction that 90% of the world is going to have.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And anytime somebody calls you out on anything like that, it's
never good to hear.
It's never good to hear. Mm-hmm. And it makes you realize how human you are and how sinful we are. Because that was my first reaction. It's like, yeah. Get out of here, dude. You know what you're talking about. Leave me mm-hmm. alone. And I had to wrestle with that and talk with people. And it took me a couple of weeks. And I came to terms with that and made me a better person.
For sure.
You know, so, but.
And I think that, yeah, it's definitely not easy. And let's just say hypothetically, you didn't respond positively, you know, for the other person, the person confronting. I mean, that's mm-hmm. difficult to be able to go, well, I still see this as an issue. And I mean, most people, after they confront you and would go, hey, Kevin, you need to knock off X, Y, and Z, and you mm-hmm. respond poorly, most people would just go, forget it. Not going to take the next step
right. yeah.
because most people don't, they're harmonizers. You know, it's just like, I can't emotionally handle this anymore. Right. And for you to then go grab your buddies and to go, hey, we need to talk to Kevin. Right. You know what I mean? And then you still don't respond. I mean, just imagine you're defeated after twice mm-hmm. in a row. It's like, what's the point of even getting the church involved in this? Because this person's obviously not right. getting this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what the scripture is calling us to, is just to go like, look, we need to get over ourselves, and it's for the kingdom. And I mean, I'm sure Paul had tons of conversations with people and just like, come on, dude, knock this off. Mm-hmm. Are you not going to listen? Let me grab some of my buddies. Knock this off, you know, because it's just like, that's what we're called to as believers. And you're right. It's not a touchy feely subject, mm-hmm. but it is in scripture. And Brad even made mention to it in the First Corinthians passage. He's like, this is in scripture, and I hate that I have to read this, but this is the consequences of you not doing this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, the sad reality is it could cause somebody to be, what was the word, fancy wordage he used?
It was hand them over to Satan, but I don't remember what
the lust, their own lust.
Yeah, well, that's in the scripture, but he used like a good way of like disciplining somebody.
Restorative exclusion.
Restorative exclusion. You know, how do you exclude somebody and also restore them? And you know, most of the people that you confront and they say no, they pretty much just peace out. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I think there's a healthy way to do it, and we've got to figure out what is that healthy way.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that at the beginning he said the goal of every conversation like this is always restoration.
Totally.
And I think a lot of time, I mean, I struggle with this. I want my goal isn't always restoration, and in my flesh, my goal wants to be, I want them to say that they're wrong, or I want them to say that I'm right, or whatever. And that's not that, I mean, that's just horrible. That's pride. That's, you know, but the goal is always restoration, even in, you know, maybe putting space between, you know, the church and this person. The goal even there is for them, I mean, they said to in the scripture to hand him over to Satan so that his soul may be saved. And I never understood that until yesterday when he was explaining it. If we let them be in their sin, eventually God's going to break them, and then they will become restored, because you can't sit in your sin forever and have the Holy Spirit just chipping away, you know.
But and even with that, I think that it is a responsibility on followers of Christ to have the necessary conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And not just go, well, eventually they'll come back around, and you know, like Satan will destroy them and God will restore them. And it's like, no, even in that, we need to still have the conversation and not just let them drown in their own sin.
And that's hard. Even like, because I'll think like I'm really bad at those conversations because I am a harmonizer. And there's things where that maybe the scripture doesn't talk about explicitly, like maybe it's a gray issue. And so I think I can't talk to that person about it. It's a gray issue, you know, but I don't know. Do you guys ever come across that?
Absolutely. And I think I think when it comes to stuff like that, where it is a gray issue, you feel something for a reason. You know what I mean? You feel, gosh, I don't know. This doesn't feel right. And you don't know. Necessarily, you can't point to scripture with it, with that, those feelings. And I don't want to say that your feelings are always 100% accurate and attribute all of your feelings to the moving of the Holy Spirit in your soul. What I'm saying is if you're going at somebody, if I feel, I see Sarah walking out of, gold diggers or something, you know, I don't know what you're doing.
Leave me alone.
But like, if I see you and I just, there's something weird, and if my heart is, I love Sarah, I care about Sarah, you know, gosh, this is, you know, I don't want to have to hand them over to their own sin. I don't want to see them get destroyed by the decisions they made in their life. If your heart is there, it's much easier. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important when you're going to confront somebody on something that you have your heart right.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, by no means does the Bible say you need to have your heart right before you do anything. It doesn't say you should go out and start swinging sticks out of anger, but I think we need to be obedient to God regardless of where our heart's at, you know?
But I think that if you're going to judge somebody in an area, and Brad mentioned this, you need to check yourself first.
Because you're going
to
be judged that by that same judgment that you're giving
out. Yeah. And I mean, maybe you guys disagree, but it's like, in some senses I go, deal with the issue in your own life before you start pointing it out in somebody else's.
Look at the speck out of your own eye before you get the log out of your eye.
Absolutely. But I even think it's like, don't have the conversation until you, or find somebody else to have it, because obviously you have an issue just as much.
Yeah.
So it's like, don't even bring it up. And you talk about your friend that brought this up to you or whatever, but it's like, I think a great example is you thought, you're like, well, you're at my house with me, or you and I, we have a history together, or whatever. And so instantly, instead of you hearing like, this guy's really trying to restore me, all you're thinking is, man, you used to do this kind of stuff too. Or you're with me. We have a history together. You know what I mean?
I think there's a way to go about it. Even if you are struggling with it though too, you can go about it in a, hey, I struggle with this too. I see you struggle with it too. Let's talk about it. I think there's a way to do it in that sense, but maybe not a, you sound hesitant.
I think it's something to struggle with, you know, and if you are going to talk with somebody about this, like my dad, I love my dad. Like, you know, he'll always, every time I say I'm having a hard time with this, he'll ask me if I'm praying about it. And I like forget about that all the time. Like, I don't know what I want to do, Dad. You're praying about it? Like, shut up, Dad. don't ask me that, you know, because like, you know, I know that that's a good thing. But yeah. I think if you are struggling with it, if you want to judge somebody and you are mad and you'd want to tell somebody and your heart's not right, I think it's important to struggle with that. Say, God, change my heart, yeah. you know, and make me feel good about this, you know.
I completely agree with you. I guess where I kind of maybe draw the line in my own life is like, I don't think, and I don't know what scripture really lands exactly on this, but I don't know if I will even have that conversation if I don't have victory in this area in my life. Because, and Sarah, going back to what you just said, is like, I mean, I've had the conversations with people, and it's like, you struggle with that? Well, I struggle with that too. Or it comes across more like this, like, oh, you're struggling with anger. It's like, man, you know what? I struggle with anger too. And like, it comes as almost a comforting thing instead of like me really going, I struggle with this and I have victory over it. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Instead of going like, I struggle with this, I'm working on it, and I think you need to work on it as well. Yeah. I think it's got to be like, this is where I land. And you guys may land there for me. I just think that you got to have victory in those areas before you confront. And if you don't, then it's not your place. And there's other people who have victory in those areas who can confront. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, that's not... Maybe I'm unbiblical there.
Well, I think that you could have a good result from a conversation like that, though, saying like, hey, I struggle with this. I see you struggle with it. They might be just dying for someone to, and they could say, oh, I want to grow too. And then, but it depends on the person, I guess. And you just have to pray through, how is this person going to hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because if they're not in a receptive place, you might want to wait a little bit, or you know.
And I'm a persister, and you bring that up. It's interesting. Like, I'm a persister, and so when somebody tells me something, mm-hmm. it's black or white. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And it's like, right. if you struggle with this, don't talk to me. If you don't, I'm all ears. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because I have mad respect for you not dealing with this issue.
Good to know if we ever need to confront Christians.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, honestly, it's like that's how I can hear it.
Yeah.
Because if you're in the same sin that I'm in, it's like, dude, lay off, man. And that's probably prideful of me. It but is. That's my feeling inside. It's, and it's like, it's, dude, it
is
lay
pride,
off.
But that pride is real, man. Like, that's it's very important to know what's going on. Like, and I think that will help somebody who's going to confront somebody else to know how the other person is going to react. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
I think I'm opposite from you then, because my flesh is that if someone comes to me and says, I used to struggle with this too, and here's what I did, mm-hmm. I'd be like, no, don't talk down to me. I'm an adult. Don't do that to me. And, but if someone came to me and said, hey, I'm struggling with this too, I could think, oh, great, she's not coming down to me, where we could do this together, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but that's on a bad day. And
yeah, I think it's all about how you approach it. If somebody approached me and was like, hey, man, I used to struggle with this for years of my life, and I really have found victory in this specific area, whether that be anger or something else, or pride or vain or whatever, and it's like... And then they're coming with a sense of humility, going, I see this in you. And the only reason why I see this in you is because I spent years of my life letting Satan take over this area of my life. And I found victory, and I want victory for you as well.
I just,
if you don't come across that way sometimes, I can't hear it.
Yeah.
Because I instantly get stuck at, well, you're struggling with the same thing, dude. How am I going to figure this out?
I think the common thread, though, in all of the good approaches that we're talking about is humility.
Totally. Yeah. You got to have humility.
Because why would I want to listen to anyone who thinks, you know, they smell real good, or thinks that they're not upwind of themselves? What does Brad say? Upstream of themselves? Whatever.
Something like that. Sure. Their stuff don't stink.
That's right.
Yeah, that's like, you know, go for it.
Sorry. Well, what's encouraging, because I can think of a time when someone's confronted me and in a bad way, and it was like, we all think so. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, great. So you've talked about it with everyone. And so you guys, it's Christian. And but even in that, where my first response is, of course, like, you know, you guys are only gossiping about, you know, whatever. But then at the end of the day, it's like, oh, they all see this in me. Even though it may have been done like a wrong way, like God can still use bad attempts, you know?
I totally agree. I'm only putting my foot down because like I said, I'm a persister, and that's how I feel. But I think if you come with a sense of humility, mm-hmm. and even if it's done in a bad way, God can still use all of that to restore you.
Yeah. Well, and I say that because I always fear saying anything, because I think, oh, I'm going to say it wrong. I'm prideful. I shouldn't say anything, you know, but mm-hmm. really, like, if you have a good, if you're just seeking to restore someone and, you know, make the Lord look good, then I feel like he could use even the dumbest attempts.
When I think about it, like, and just listen to you talk about it a little bit, I feel like, because I was thinking, have I ever had to rebuke somebody or anything like that? And I can think of one time in particular, but for the most part, you know, never has it been like a traditional style thing. But I think about situations in my life where I've said, I've got this thing in my life. And I know we're talking about, you know, how you discipline and whatnot, but I think this may work. I've had plenty of issues. You know, I'm a man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a dude. I've struggled with sexual immorality because I'm a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And to go to another man and like be a little vulnerable.
Ow, like, vulnerability's huge.
Hey, man. Hey, I just don't judge me. Don't hate me. I'm not gross. Like, you know, and just say, hey, bro, I've been having a hard time with this. And, you know, I remember I used to work at Dan Gamble's, the gym.
Mm.
And I told my buddy, oh, these ladies just walking around in spandex and working out and doing squats and it's killing me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would have to say, I want to stop. I want to stop looking at these. I want to look at them like they're my sister, you know, and not like, you know, they're, you know, my wife or something. And, so every week he asked me, so how you doing? How you doing? I said, I'm doing good. How are you doing? Like, oh, okay. We're talking about me now, you know? And so
yeah.
We could have that nice back and forth. And it was a way for us to develop a relationship. And it was a way for us to keep each other accountable. And I feel like at any moment, if he would have said, how was your week? I said, well, you know, I had a hard time. I looked at all the ladies, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like he would have been like, that's wrong. Call me out. And if I hadn't repented at that point, I mean, we had the relationship where I know he would have talked to the rest of my buddies.
Right.
Kevin is blowing it. We need to get him out of Dan Gamble's, you know, get him in a field.
And that's a situation of restorative, you know what I mean? A restorative conversation.
Yeah.
And I think that Sarah, I think nailed it. It's just like, you have to come in with humility. You have to come in with the heart to restore mm-hmm. this person, and anything else, it's going to go awry, mm-hmm. but God can still use mm-hmm. the conversation, you know, to his glory. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just like, you know, with church discipline as a whole, Brad said it even in the clip, like you'd hope it never get to that point. But the Bible clearly writes about this because it does get to that point,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Absolutely.
And so being in a church, that's bound to happen. But I think when it does happen, let's make sure we're going about it the right way. And we're going about it how scripture calls us to, instead of, you know, Sarah's, you know, what Sarah has seen in her life is somebody just goes pointing out all this stuff. And it's like, you're wrong. Everybody says you're mm-hmm. wrong. And it's like, see you later,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, let us not be that, you know, mm-hmm. let's go with what scripture says. And I think that I'm interested to hear what next week's is about. Well, how do you, I don't even know if you can use the word rebuke, but it's like, how do you confront somebody who's not in the church, who mm-hmm. doesn't live by the same set of standards mm-hmm. that the three of us do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good kind of three piece finishing that off as well. So
I think I feel like every week I've kind of known where he was going to go.
Yeah.
And then I listen to this sermon and it's painting with a new color.
Yeah.
And I've been really excited. So I'm curious.
Mm-hmm. And PJ speaking this week.
Cool.
Too.
Awesome. Yeah. Pastor John Lewis.
Yeah.
Who like is sort of a fan of the podcast, but like sort of not. Like I don't know where he lands on it. So
he's a fan of us as humans.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
stay tuned. We are going to, go for it.
Oh, I just wanted to say that since I met my wife, I've never looked at another woman ever. They don't even exist to me anymore.
I'm sure.
Put that clarification out there for old Jenny, who's out there listening, going, "What's going? Is he working at the gym again?"
No. Does Jenny even listen?
No, she doesn't. No, she's not listening.
Hi, Jenny.
Up next, we've kind of we're going to introduce a new segment onto the show,
Woo-woo.
And we hope you guys will enjoy that. So stay tuned for kind of our conclusion to these last three sermons. I was interested to see what we have to say next week.
Mm-hmm.
So. Enjoy some Carrie Job.
That's not who we are. real complicated. Consider your ways, repent, or God's going to punk you. There it is. Okay, that's all you got to do.
All right, we are back, and we have been collectively thinking of a good idea to replace the one and why segment. And I got this email this past week from an old listener. His name was Andrew Ballou.
Andrew Ballou, welcome back.
Yeah, he basically says, I hope you can forgive my absence, but I've been listening. I just haven't had anything that's drawn my attention to write in. And basically, he made fun of me and said, never call the internet the interwebs again. I called Instagram a program, and he says that Instagram is an aperture to a social media experience.
Aperture? I thought app was short for application.
I don't know. Then he basically said, there's been no mention of the Fast Five hat over the last couple of weeks. And I agree. We need to bring the Fast Five hat back in. And so I feel like we came up with a creative way to do that, because Andrew was a fan of the one and why. He just said maybe we didn't come up with the best one and why. So that's on me. That's on me. But
okay,
I think
you're taking the blame here.
I'm taking the blame here.
Okay, good.
I do think that we need to come up with an idea to engage the audience, but to where if you don't engage, it's still fun for us. And it also reflects the well as a whole, mm-hmm. you know, and what we do at the well. And so we're going to try this new segment. We don't have a name for it yet, but we at least have an intro for the segment. And mm-hmm. we are going to essentially take the script of a sermon that Brad gave. So this could be from 10 years ago, or this could be from last week. And we'll take a portion of the sermon out, a script of it, you know, a couple lines, paragraph. And our dear friend Kevin Tinkin over here is going to act out or basically read what Brad said, essentially, right?
Yeah.
And the goal of you as a listener is to think of what sermon or what scripture is this from?
Yes.
What's Brad unpacking?
What's Brad unpacking?
Yeah. So is that the name?
Yeah.
Maybe that was it. I think
what's unpacking Brad?
What's Brad unpacking?
What's Brad unpacking?
So that there
feels
we go.
Feels right.
There's the name of the segment. So what's Brad unpacking? So what is this point getting to? And so all you would have to do is write the spoutpodcast@gmail.com with what scripture you think this is going to be for.
Can we even say what concept also? Because it's what he's unpacking is a concept. Because it could be a collective.
I think that's going to be too long. I want it to be a word. Yeah, one word. It should be just a one word. What's your name? And then we'll continue to give away prizes and whatnot. But I think that we should do that. You can either name the sermon series or you can name the scripture. That's fair.
Or there's a book.
And they'll get a prize.
We'll give away prizes. Woo! We'll do a drawing. We'll do a drawing. So it's a very
lunch
simple
with
email.
Kevin Tinkin.
The Spout Podcast at gmail.com. And all you do is write in one word, which is a book of the Bible or a sermon series we've gone through. So if we were reading from 1 Corinthians, you would write, that's 1 Corinthians, Christian Warren, Fresno, California, whatever that is, okay?
Yes, please put your place of living.
And I feel like we did this because we feel like this reflects the well, and it's kind of poking fun at ourselves, but it's also good for people who go to the well as well.
Yeah.
So, Kevin?
You got to bear with me because I have the reading comprehension of a third grader. So
Wait. Well, this is what we should do every time. Like, we should go, Kevin, let's unpack Brad's sermon.
Yes. Or I'm ready to unpack it.
Yeah, whatever. All right, here we go.
Let me ask a question. How many of you dads remember what it was like when sometime after you were married, that lady you married came up to you that you married and says, congratulations, you're going to be a dad. And in the moment, of course, there was exhilaration. And of course, you said, oh, that's fantastic. And then she walks away and you go, oh, my word. I'm going to be a father. I have no idea how to be a father.
I think this is going to be good. That was good.
That was really good. And I don't even know what sermon this is from.
See, that's the thing. So the only
Kevin,
people,
we have to write in.
I know. I'm going to have to figure that out.
So the only person that will really know what it's from is me. And then everybody else is going to write in and try and figure out what sermon did Brad say this in context to. So just know it could be at the beginning, in the middle, at the end. It's any point of the sermon that I go, oh, that would be funny. Let's pull that out and have Kevin read it.
Also, if you have a good moment in a Brad discussion or sermon,
yeah,
give that to us too.
Yeah, because we'll use it because we think it's funny.
Yeah.
So Song of Solomon sermons will probably get put in there a couple times.
Something about putting oil on the doorknob. Or yeah. Something. Like, what's going on around here?
So, yeah, we're excited for this. We're going to call this, what did we say again?
What's Brad unpacking?
What's Brad unpacking? And we will we'll unpack that, and I will read the result next week on the show. So email us in at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com.
Can't wait to see what people write in.
I know. Well, hopefully people buy into this and they're into it a little bit. I think it could be fun. So what's Kevin, bring the funny, okay?
Yeah. I did it.
It's his middle name.
It's been brought in.
Cool. Well, stay tuned for an interview with Cameron Little from Ephraim Clothing, and then we'll close out the show after that. Enjoy some more Carrie Job. Welcome back, and with us is our guest, and we kind of joked off air, but like you're our first kind of like doesn't, you know, you go to the well, but you're not, we don't work at the well, and we're not, I mean, it's like you kind of are a local celebrity. So this is Cameron Little. Cameron Little
snaps for Cameron.
Of Ephraim Clothing. If you've ever seen an Ephraim sticker on most people at the well's car, or I don't know. A lot of people have Ephraim stickers. Would you agree?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Could always use more, but
yeah. Or if you've you know, seen an Ephraim shirt or any, pretty much any shirt ever worn by people at the well, Cameron maybe didn't design it, but his company put it out and gave us the shirts, all the above.
Yeah, we do a lot of printing for the well, and we do some design for the well over the last, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 years. So it's been good.
And you and your wife, you guys attend the well, correct?
Yeah, we attend the well, Fig Garden Campus, 11 a.m., but I think we're switching to the 9.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they said that's going to be the new hot time to go.
Too many people at the 11 o'clock service or what?
No, it has to do with our daughter.
Okay.
She takes naps around that time, like with 11 o'clock service. Yes. It's hard for us to almost get there on time. So we're going to start going earlier so she can nap afterwards. How do
you feel Kevin about that? Also takes naps at that I time. Do. He's just agreeing with you.
I was nodding. Every time I go to the 11, I'm just nodding off in the middle of the sermon. And it's
yeah.
I bet. Now, how do you feel about the 9 o'clock?
I'm good with it.
Yeah, you're good with it?
I'm an early riser.
Good.
I like it. So
you're an early riser, and we've chatted about this before, but you're a golfer. And golfers are typically early risers.
I am a golfer.
Why
I
is that? Why do they go together?
I don't know. I just feel like you want to be the first one out. On the course.
It's nice and cool.
Yeah, I think if you're married, you want to play as much golf as you can in the morning so you can get home and do all the stuff you need to later.
So this is totally random, but like you told me the other day you've been giving golf lessons.
Yes.
How's that been going?
It's been going great. Over the years, I've given a few to different people. I haven't given too many in the last year or so, but I have a new student, and it's going great. He's an older gentleman. He's a really nice guy. But we're having a good time.
Did you try and sell him Ephraim clothes?
No, I told him that first time we went out and had a lesson, he wore like a warm-up suit.
Okay.
Like a windbreaker?
Yeah, and pants, matching. Yeah, it was great. But I told him, hey, I need you to wear some tighter pants next time because I can't see like your leg movements when you're turning back. Ooh. And I wanted to see that. And so next time you wear tighter pants. And
people ask me to do that all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why. Could you wear tighter pants?
Now,
I got a question.
Yeah, go.
What does Ephraim mean? What is that?
Where
why
did that come
name?
From?
Well, it came from the Bible. Okay. It's from the Old Testament. I'm not exactly sure if I'm pronouncing Ephraim correctly. I've heard it pronounced a lot of different ways over the years, but it all started back in like 2000. I got a Bible on CD, popped it in. Nice. I wasn't looking to start a clothing line to do any of this stuff. I don't know what I was thinking, but put the CD in. The guy that was reading the Bible, he said, Ephraim. And I was like, that sounded pretty cool. I think if I ever started a clothing line, I think I'd like that. If I walked into to a surf shop or a skate shop and I saw that, I think I would want to buy something like that. That was kind of the first how it first started.
Yeah.
And so it stuck. The name stuck. And then over the years, people have said Ephraim, 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 stuff like that. And they call me that. They call me Ephraim. I've been called that instead of Cameron. But that's kind of where the name came from. And it means it means to be doubly fruitful is the meaning.
Okay.
And then Ephraim was the son of Joseph. Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and Ephraim was that's kind of the nutshell version of it.
Awesome. Do you feel like, and maybe this is a deeper question, but do you feel like people at least in Fresno know of Ephraim, and I think there's more people outside of Fresno that know of Ephraim. Do you feel like because it's a Christian company, it gets pigeonholed a little bit, or you're like you stand firm to this, like this is a Christian company?
Yeah, I mean, it's from the beginning, that's where it all started, is to stay firm, to create a Christian brand or a brand that had meanings behind the designs that didn't waver necessarily when it went into another store or went to a different place. It was still be a Christian brand, but what I wanted to do was to have it resonate with everyone. Like when they saw the design at first, they didn't know what it really meant. They asked questions and it goes from there. So it wasn't like, oh, I see that's one of those, you know, Christian shirts, I don't want to talk to that person, or they already kind of know what that person stands for. So I thought with the designs I'm creating would hopefully spark conversation.
Yeah.
And but you know, it does pigeonhole us, I think, in certain aspects, especially like I've tried so long to get into SBI and wavelengths and
just not having it.
Yeah.
Huh?
It just never happened. Mm-hmm. So, and I just think it's because they know, not they have anything against it, but just that they know it's a religious thing. And
see, so, I would be like, if I was them, I would understand Fresno's culture.
Yeah.
And I would go like, that's a no brainer to me. Because Fresno, I mean, Christian kids are going to buy Christian products.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, that's how kids work like that, you know? Yeah. And so, I don't know, but I know that one of the reasons why we wanted to bring you in here is like, over the last, I think, month, you've really redesigned kind of Ephraim and the website and just a lot of the designs you've even had from the past. And wanted to have you come in and kind of talk about why the new design, why the new look on a lot of different things. And like what can people... How can people navigate through your website? Because at first glance, it's like, what is this?
You know? Yeah, yeah. Well, if there's a little blurb on the website when you go to it now, we've kind of relaunched what we're doing for this 2012. It's an entire concept line. So it's one shirt or one product for 12 months. And so instead of offering like a couple new designs every month, we're really kind of stripping back, and we're just saying we want to be more concept driven. We've already been concept driven since we started, but what we wanted to do was really focus in on something. And being like in the last couple of years, getting married, having a baby, mm-hmm. life definitely changed. And it's so hard to do this whole like living the dream of being a clothing company or mm-hmm. and so what I wanted to do was kind of just strip everything back and say, hey, we want to focus a little bit more specifically on something. So the relaunch or the redesign, the whole concept is to kind of go over, I guess in a nutshell, this is the sometimes I get a little too wordy and I start explaining things way too much. So I'm going to try to give you guys like the nutshell version of it.
Kevin will fall asleep. I'll listen.
Yeah.
No, I'm in.
But, you know, a lot of brands, a lot of Christian brands, we kind of just give like the real John 3:16 type stuff on shirts and putting the word love. You see the word love everywhere on things, and it's just we've kind of glossed over the meaning of what things really mean, and we never dive any deeper than the surface. So what we try to do is this is go over some theological nuggets sort of. And so justification, sanctification, glorification are the three things that we're going to be going over in the next year. And the first 4 months we'll focus on justification. And we're not getting like super, super in depth on them, but we want to go more than just, hey, we're going to put a shirt out that has a verse on it and that's it and leave you with that. We want to kind of dive into it. And so for four months, we're going to be diving into that. The next 4 months, sanctification. And then the last 4 months, glorification. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of churches, I think, and at least in my experiences, not necessarily at the well, but just all the different travels we've done, different events over the years. We go to these events and everybody gets pumped up and kind of an emotional high, and music's going, but we never really are taught anything in a sense. There's the substance isn't there. And so I didn't want this to do that. I wanted to kind of have the shirts have a little bit more meaning than we've done some in the past. I mean, we've done some shirts that just, you know, I guess could fall in that category of just being a Christian shirt, but
right.
we've always wanted to go farther than that and make you think. We've talked about depravity. We've talked, and I think my leaning sometimes is I talk about how bad we are and how much we need God, and I kind of sometimes leave out the part about love and hope, and it's, I know it's all there, but I think it's because I'm so thankful that yeah. as bad as we are, bad as I am, that God truly loves us. And now,
you say we, is that you coming up with these designs, or is it a group of people, or how's that working?
Yeah, well, over the years it's been both. It's yeah. been it's been me, it's been I have a group of like really good friends. I guess we've become more friends than, you know, maybe at first we were just acquaintances, and I commissioned some artwork. But when I speak in the we, it's it all started back in the beginning. We makes this company sound bigger.
Yeah.
yeah.
So when I speak we, it just means Ephraim as a whole. It doesn't necessarily mean particular group, but it's just, you know, it includes everybody that's been a part of it. And so the core of it's just my wife and I. And
yeah.
That's awesome.
So if you, you know, layman out there doesn't know much about t-shirts or the intro nets, we'll call it, they would go to, you know, EphraimClothing.com, correct?
Yeah, EphraimClothing.com. You can Google it. You yeah. can find us on Twitter, Ephraim Clothing, or at Ephraim Clothing. You can find us on Facebook. You can just search Cameron Little. That's just the I write a lot of stuff on there, even though it's more about Ephraim than it is me personally. Right. But I always will have a fan page.
You guys also have the Instagram now, and I've seen you post a couple designs on the Instagram profile, which is cool.
Yeah, Instagram's been great. It's been fun. I love it. I love searching other people and posting some things just to get feedback from people too.
For sure. And so, go for it.
Oh, well, I was gonna say, your wife, does she have a? She's a jewelry line, doesn't she?
Yeah, she sure does. It's called Make Pie Not War, and she makes all custom jewelry. She's been doing that for about 4 years now. And it all started when I went on a month-long tour of these festivals back east. I had some people go with me, but she couldn't go because she was working a full-time job at the time. Mm-hmm. The day I left, she quit her job, and that's when she started Make Pie, Not War, while I was gone. So I came back, it all started that way, and she's been doing that full-time since. So
that's fun. You guys are real grassroots. You kind of just start your own things, and they take off, and that's...
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know where it came from. I mean, yeah. In college, I wanted to either work in insurance and play golf all the time. My dad had a real good friend who was an insurance salesman, and I said, that's a life for me. I want to play golf. Oh, and work. and so this whole thing with starting Ephraim and then with my wife doing her thing, I don't think we set out saying we want to be entrepreneurs and let's do it. But once you're in, it's really hard to get out of it. You don't want to work for anybody anymore. Right. Not because you don't like, you know, working for someone. You just, you know, you have all the ideas. You want to get them. You want to do them. And you don't want people to tell you no. You want to learn on your own, and you want to fail if you have to or succeed. And it's great.
I have a question for whenever.
Keep going.
I'm wondering, do you ever get... like negative feedback, like, because being like a Christian brand, like people probably have a lot of opinions about theology or things that you put on your shirts, whatever. Do you ever get people saying this is incorrect or this is wrong or things like that?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. We've never had anybody say that ever. We've probably been the best clothing company ever created, I think.
sounds like most clothing companies.
You know, we've got some negative feedback in the past. It's mostly at events. Nothing really ever through the website or anybody posting anything or saying anything. People come up and say, what's that mean? And explain to them, and they'll say, well, I'm not sure if I agree with that, or I don't even know that, if that's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. But overall, it's been all positive. But at the same time, it's sort of discouraging, because we've gone to so many Christian festivals where these kids just come up and buy, and they don't ask you what anything means. And then you're like, I mean, so all this time I'm pouring this meaning, not meaning into the shirt, but just... thinking about how can I explain this concept, and I want it to be understandable, but not too heavy or But then no one asked about it, and it's like, oh great. So I could have just put, you know, just a verse on there, and then it'll be I would sell, you know, just as well. No one did it. Like, that was probably the most discouraging thing about this. You know, we've been doing this for about 10 years now. But
that's what's also cool about the new website is you can have an understanding of what each new shirt is.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's almost like this. You get excited to check back in the next month because it's like, oh, there's going to be a new design. And you now know what you're purchasing in some senses. And I think that's good. I think it's good for people to understand, like, you know, I'm wearing the one on my shirt. And I get asked, what does that mean all the time? And I would hate it if I had no clue what this stood for. You know what I mean? And I'm sure there's kids who get asked, what does that shirt mean? And it's like, you know, but a kid probably has no clue. So
yeah, and I guess, and that goes back to it being sort of like great that they got the shirt, but a bummer at the same time, because you want them to know what that means. Yeah. You want them to share the gospel. You want them to share something about that shirt that opens the door to talk about Christ, talk about, you know, spiritual things in a sense. But I guess you just have to, you know, you live and learn. And I think if you have to write down my pros and cons of, you know, things that have gone on over the years, and what I've learned is that, you know, my wife tells me all the time, I love to hear it, but I hate that we have to do it, but you have to dumb it down sort of, you know, you can't go too deep on something because then it's over everyone's head. And you know, she always tells me, like, when you're writing something that what the shirt means, write it like you're trying to explain it to a 5-year-old. Right. So they understand it. Like, no, that's, I don't want to do that. I want to tell them all this stuff. I've been studying this. I need to tell them.
Right. I have a t-shirt that has a water drop on it that you gave me. What's the meaning behind that shirt? Because you just gave it to me, and I don't know the meaning. Yeah. So,
well, it says blood and water on there.
Okay, I didn't see that. Yeah,
and then if you look closer, there's icons down there. So on the shirt itself it's a giant water drop,
right?
And a blood drop, kind of at the same time, over the top of each other.
Yeah,
and then there's three little icons down at the bottom, and it's all separated out. It's a water drop, the little drop that represents blood, and then there's a spear. And it's talking about when Jesus was on the cross and he was pierced by the Roman soldier with the spear. That's what the spear represents, and how blood and water came out of him out of his side. So,
and that's fulfilling of prophecy too, that with blood and water, right? Am I making that up?
Let's have Christian answer this one.
Well,
maybe you made that up.
That obviously wasn't your original intent, though.
No, I
that'd be really cool, though.
Yeah.
The biblical prophecy about it was that nobody would be able to break his bones.
Oh.
And so they tried to break his legs so that he couldn't bow up and take a breath in to expand his lungs. They couldn't break his legs, so they speared him in the side.
Oh.
There you go. Honestly, like, people have asked me, what's that on your shirt? I should have just texted you or called you, but all I've said is like, oh, there's a, you know, it's just, you know, it's raining. Raining. Yeah. God loves the rain.
God made rain. And
I really like your designs that you do on there, because when I think about Christian shirts, I get a little bit like, whatever. Like, I think it's because I think all the Christian shirts that I had seen for so long was like bench press this, you know,
a breadcrumb and fish.
Yeah, and which was, you know what, it was great for the time and whatnot, but I still see them all the time. I think the last Christian shirt that I wore literally was a picture of a monkey, and it said, no scientist is going to make a monkey out of me. And it was like Christians hate science. It was basically, and I was just like, okay, is this a Christian shirt? But I loved it. Like, I rocked it. And then I've seen some of the stuff that you've done, and I'm just like, man, this is good, because it is deep. It does have that ultimate meaning, and it's dealing with biblical truths, not political issues as much as, which a lot of Christian shirts you'll see, is this really, well, it's definitely taking a line on something, but it's not something right out of the Bible. And so I really appreciate that your stuff does
Thank
that.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I'd say I'm, you know, maybe people disagree, but I'm really into fashion. I'm like, I wouldn't say I'm like a streetwear kind of guy necessarily, but I love checking out these brands that are really into like bright colors and big graphics on the shirts and things like that. And that's kind of where we get some of our ideas and what we're trying to do accomplish with it as far as stylistically, but that we're into that, you know. And if you name the shirt that had you talk about the shirt with the monkey on it, and I try to think to myself, like, what would I want to wear? You know, I wouldn't want to wear a shirt that necessarily had something silly on there like that, or talked about certain things. You know, when I was a little younger, I got a bunch of those shirts and I wore them, and I didn't realize till later in life that, man, or this is kind of like, this is kind of pushing people away that maybe
absolutely
wanted to, who would want to know something about Christ, you know? And I think about my family, who those aren't believers, and I'm thinking, man, if I wore a shirt that said this on there, like, they wouldn't even want to, even my own family wouldn't want to talk to me about it. Like, how can I, you know, share the Lord with them? And so that's kind of how it, you know, with the
this,
shirt.
This is all good stuff, Cameron.
I'm learning so much. I have no idea of any of this.
And closing out the segment, it's like, if you really, you know, I even think of clothing company Jedediah, and we've talked about them before, but it's like, I think the difference between you and them is like, I have some t-shirts that just have a skateboarder on it. And underneath the shirt, it says, like, become who you are. And I'm like, it's just a skater. You know what I mean? And so you have some meaning behind your shirt. And I'd love for people who listen to this podcast to go to ephraimclothing.com and check out the concept. And you'll get a new one every month, kind of the 12 new concepts.
Yeah.
And buy some shirts from Cameron. And if you see some shirts around the well, you know, those Cameron has not necessarily designed them, but definitely use your company to make them as well. And so we appreciate you coming in, dude.
Thanks for having us.
I might have to swap out the Woot shirts every once in a while.
For some Ephraim shirts,
I might have to do it. I might have to.
All right, Cameron, thanks again, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. We're here to close out the show. We got a few announcements for you guys. The worship team has been working really hard on some original worship songs, and they have given them out for free on our website. And our latest one, titled Invitation, is available on the website. And the way you can find it, it's free $99. If you go to the website, click on media at the top, and there's a section, well, there's the Spoutcast tab, and there's also worship music tab. So if you click on media, then worship music, you get your free download of Invitation.
Now, Sarah, I'm a fan of the Spoutcast.
Yeah.
And a couple weeks ago, you know, we had Carl Deese on the show.
That's right. We did on episode 38.
If I want to find that, how would I get there?
Oh, well, you can do that on iTunes. Uh-huh. If you subscribe to us on iTunes, you can search the Spoutcast in your iTunes store. Find us, subscribe, and you can download that episode.
Yeah, and he actually plays that song acoustically on that episode.
Uh-huh. So, yeah. It's a pretty good episode. Yeah. It's really cool.
It's
Unplugged. Also, check out Ephraim Clothing. Our friend Cameron Little was here today, so check him out at ephraimclothing.com. And order some of his really cool shirts.
For sure.
And they all have meaning behind him. I loved that interview. That was so great.
I like him.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. I appreciate him. And I have a couple Ephraim shirts, and I'm going to probably call him or text him and say, what does this shirt mean? So, a couple other quick things is we're trying to start up this Instagram. I know not a ton of people are on it.
Instagram.
Just a fun way to take a photo of something or whatever. I don't know. It's just another
social
media.
We didn't take a photo with Cameron.
Well, I was going to take a photo of the website and put it on the Spoutcast Instagram. Also, so that's just Instagram at the Spoutcast, or you can find us on Twitter at the Spoutcast, or at the Spoutcast on Twitter, but Facebook. It's facebook.com/spoutcast.
Or email us at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com.
And we want you guys to email in what scripture or sermon series, our clip from Brad's sermon. So unpack Brad's sermon a little bit.
That's
and
right.
see what it was from. And we will announce that next week, what it was, and then we'll do a fast five, like reaching the hat, all of the above. So
can me and Kevin be part of that too?
No, just me. Sorry, guys.
Right.
Well, thanks for tuning in to The Spout. Dave Johnson, as always, thanks for hanging out with us. And this is The Spout. We are out.
And about. I got gout. Don't shout.